And that movie was, well, it sort of broke a lot of different records and all that good stuff. I don't know, anybody heard of The Avengers Endgame? Right? You know, it sort of made news all over the place, all that good stuff. I haven't seen it yet, so please don't spoil it. And of course, Marvel, The Avengers Endgame is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and that goes all the way back to the movie Iron Man. And while I actually haven't seen most of the MCU, I'm sorry, you can take away my nerd card later if you need to. I haven't seen most of the MCU, but we've been working our way through it, and so we watched Iron Man just a couple weeks ago for the first time, actually. And in the movie Iron Man, the character Tony Stark, who later becomes Iron Man, well, he is captured by some terrorists. And Tony Stark, who runs a military arms company, he figures out while he's been captured that the weapons that his company is creating are being used by both sides of the conflict. And he has this moment where he comes face to face with the reality of the ways that he is not the good guy that he has always thought himself to be. That in fact, he is as much an agent of death to his friends as to his enemies. And about halfway through the movie, Tony Stark realizes, sorry, spoilers, Tony Stark realizes that he wants to change who he is. He wants his life to go on a different path, to have a different end than where it is now. And I think there's something normal about that desire, that sometimes we come face to face with the reality of who we are, with the reality of the world as it is, with the reality of how our life is going, the identities we have, and the choices that we've been making, and the result of those choices, and we find ourselves wondering, is there any hope that things can be different? Can things change? I think this is an important question that we wrestle with, an important question that we ask, an important question that we wonder about sometimes. Is what's going on right now the way things always will be? Is who I have been who I am always going to be? And along with that, we ask ourselves, how does what's going on right here and right now fit into the bigger story? Well, this morning we're going to look together at the story of a guy named John Mark. Well, John also called Mark. For clarity's sake, I'm just going to say John Mark. We're going to look at the story of a guy named John Mark, and we're going to see how God uses him as an unlikely agent to do and to be part of his mission. And what we're going to see together is that our mission is to be faithfully obedient while giving the big picture to God. That our mission is to be faithfully obedient for the immediate and to give the big picture over to God. That's what we're going to see together. But first, let's walk a little bit through the story of who John Mark is. And I want to be upfront that one of the interesting things about John Mark is that because John and Mark are both really common names, we're sometimes a little bit in the dark as to whether or not the John that they're talking about here is the same John Mark, or the Mark that they're talking about here is the same as our John Mark. So what I'm going to piece together today is based on different scripture passages, based on sort of early church history, trying to give us just a picture of who this John Mark is. So for instance, we know that John Mark from Colossians chapter 4, that Mark is the cousin of Barnabas. You might recall that last week Barnabas was sent out on mission with Paul. Paul and Barnabas went together, sent out from Antioch to spread the good news of Jesus Christ throughout modern-day Turkey. So John Mark, we're going to find out, goes with them, but he is the cousin of Barnabas. But in Acts chapter 13, we find out that while they were in Perga in Pamphylia, John Mark left them and returned to Jerusalem. Now, we don't know why John Mark left. Maybe he got homesick. Maybe he just got tired. Maybe he decided that this missionary life just wasn't for him. But for whatever reason, that we don't really know why, but for whatever reason, John Mark decides in Pamphylia, John Mark decides, I've had enough, and he goes home to Jerusalem. Now, we also know, though, that while John Mark has two names, John also called Mark, we also know that John has a nickname. John Mark has a nickname. We find out later that John Mark was called Stump Fingers because he had fingers that were too small for the height of the rest of his body. He had a nickname, not a nice one. He was known as Stump Fingers. And we also know that that choice that John Mark made to leave in Pamphylia, that that made a big difference. Because in Acts chapter 15, we come to the story that we're going to look at today. Paul and Barnabas are getting ready to go out on mission again on what is later going to be called Paul's second missionary journey. And this is what we read. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul didn't think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Now, the language used here to describe John Mark leaving in Pamphylia is strong because he had deserted them. In Greek, the word there is apostanta, and apostanta, it's the same word that we get our English word apostasy from. Apostasy, right, to deny your faith completely. For Paul, John Mark is a quitter. For Paul, John Mark has given up so much on the mission of what God is doing in the world that it seems like Paul isn't even sure whether John Mark is still a believer. That's how strong the language is. John, also called Mark, also known as Stump Fingers. Let's call him Stumpy for short. John, also called Mark, also known as Stumpy. John, also called Mark, the quitter. John, also called Mark, the deserter. John, also called Mark, the apostate. John, also called Mark, the one who left us. John, also called Mark, the one who gave up when it got too hard. John, also called Mark, the one who couldn't get 2 feet in front of himself and keep going when it counted. John has all these identities, all these labels. And the central question surrounding John, also called Mark, is who he has been, who he always will be. Is what he has done what he always will do? Is how things have been how they always will be? And how does this moment where there is such divide over who John Mark is and what he has done, that it splits Paul and Barnabas up, how in the world is this going to fit into any sort of big picture plan of what God is doing in the world? And that's where I think we can connect with John, also called Mark. For some of us, maybe we look in the mirror and we don't like the identity that we see. Maybe we look in the mirror and instead of seeing a child of God, we see the names that other people have called us. Maybe we look in the mirror and instead of seeing a beloved child of God, we see the identities that everybody else has given to us. Names that others have called us. Identities that we wish we had, but we don't. Identities we wish we didn't have, but we do. And we find ourselves wondering, is who I have been, who I'm always going to be? Or maybe we are wondering whether the choices we made in the past is how it's always going to be. And that doesn't have to be the big picture, massive decisions like John Mark leaving and Pamphylia, but how many of us, as we walk this journey of trying to be followers of Jesus Christ, we find ourselves falling into the same patterns and choices and behaviors over and over and over again, and we become convinced that there's no way that this is ever going to change. We can become convinced that we're never going to be gone from our impatience and our temper. We can become convinced that we're never going to have the self-control to stop looking at pornography. We can become convinced that the way that we're living now is how we're always going to live. And it can be enough to make us just want to throw up our hands and say, I can't do it. Or this is the best that it's going to be. John also called Mark, also called Stumpy. John also called Mark, also the quitter. Today's Mother's Day, right? And for some of us, Mother's Day is such a hard day. Because maybe this Mother's Day is the first one since our mom passed away. Or maybe it's the fifth one or the tenth one, but every Mother's Day, it just reminds us of that loss. And we find ourselves wondering, how in the world does this all fit together in any sort of big picture plan? Or maybe it's hard because we have a strained relationship with our mom. And today is supposed to be this day where we celebrate and say wonderful things about our mom, but instead all we can think of is the awful things that was said to us. And for some of us, those identities that we see when we look in the mirror were spoken to us first by our moms. For some of us, Mother's Day is hard because this is a reminder of an identity that we wish we could have. And we beg and we beg and we beg God. And it doesn't happen. And all we want to do is stay off Facebook on Mother's Day and not go to church, not be reminded of this really hard part of our life's journey. And we find ourselves wondering, how in the world can all of this possibly fit together? How is this all going to connect? Can it all connect? And of course, for many of us, Mother's Day is just a day of joy and delight. And we want to celebrate this amazing gift that is our family, our children, our moms. And I mean, moms are superheroes above and beyond Iron Man or anybody else in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And it doesn't matter whether you're a stay-at-home mom, it doesn't matter whether you're a working mom, it doesn't matter if you're somewhere in between. Moms are superheroes, convinced of it. It doesn't matter whether you go on Pinterest for the latest cool way to pack your kids' lunch or whether you send them hot lunch. What matters is that they get food, right? But I've yet to meet the superhero mom who at some point hasn't compared herself to other superhero moms and felt like she doesn't measure up. who doesn't feel like, at least in some way, she's not good enough. John also called Mark, the one who in the middle of all of this finds himself in a situation where the question is who he has been, who he's going to be, is how things have been, how things always will be. Is there a way that all of this comes together and makes sense in a way that we can't see right now in the middle of it? Well, the story continues. The story continues, and Paul and Barnabas disagree so sharply about what to do with John Mark that they separate and go separate ways. And Barnabas takes Mark and sails for Cyprus, but Paul chooses Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord, and they go through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. See, God has this really funny way of working sometimes that what looks on to our perspective like conflict and difficulty, what looks to our perspective like failure, actually ends up multiplying the missionary emphasis of the church. That what looks like Paul and Barnabas couldn't see eye to eye, so they split ways and go two separate directions. What looks to us like failure in the end doubles the amount of places that are hearing the gospel. Because sometimes what looks to us like it's not a way forward, God is actually working beyond what we can see. This is why I think in the church we should not be afraid of conflict and disagreement. Because when we disagree with each other, it's not a sign that there's something wrong. It's a sign that we're working together to figure out how God is working in and through us. And sometimes we might even disagree in such a way that God is going to multiply what we're doing. And that's okay too. Because God can work through conflict to do things far beyond what we can see or imagine or know in the immediate present. John also called Mark, also the quitter, the one who had deserted them, sparks double missionary effort, new places who are hearing the gospel. And we find out, as we continue through the story of Scripture, we find out that even though in Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas disagreed so sharply because Paul could only see a quitter, we find out that by the end of his ministry, while Paul is in prison, he writes a letter to a guy named Philemon. And in Philemon verses 23 and 24, we hear this: Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greeting. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. In Acts chapter 15, John Mark is a quitter. In Acts chapter 15, John Mark is a deserter. In Acts chapter 15, Paul disagrees so much about John Mark that he can't even work with him. He can't even be in the same room as him. He can't even be in the same city as him. And yet, by the end of Paul's life, they are fellow workers for the gospel. And God has worked a miracle in the relationship between Paul and John Mark. God has brought reconciliation. God has brought healing and restoration in that relationship. And I think sometimes we need to remember that what we see right now in front of us is not the end of the story. What we see right here, right now, is not the way things will be. How things are today is not the way they will be from here until the end. Because what we see right now may be conflict and division, but God may be working towards reconciliation in the future. What we see in front of us may be pain and sorrow, but God may be working towards healing and wholeness in the end. What we see in front of us may be something that makes us wonder how this can all fit together, but in the end, God is working in ways that we cannot see, that we cannot understand, and we never know who right now might be a quitter, but 20 years from now might be our fellow worker. We never know who right now might be nothing but a deserter, but 20 years from now might be our best friend and partner. We never know who right now it seems like is somebody we can't even stand to be with, but 20 years from now is going to be somebody who is right there alongside of us, going through life's ups and downs with us, alongside of what God is doing in our life. Friends, I believe wholeheartedly that our God is a God of reconciliation. And so where there is division and conflict right now, I don't know the long-term future. And I can't promise that every relationship that's strained right now will be healed. But I can promise that our God can do far more than we can imagine. I can promise that our God can work miracles in the human heart. I can promise that our God can break us and break through in relationships that we think have no chance of healing. Because in Acts chapter 15, John also called, Mark is also called the quitter, the deserter. But by the end of Paul's life, he's a fellow worker. John also called Mark, also called Stumpy, insulted and mocked. By the end of his life, he has another important title. And one that the insults and the names that he was called in his lifetime have largely faded from history, other than some anonymous prologue from 200 years after he lived. That's the only reference that we have anymore to who he was. But the overwhelming weight of history of who John Mark is Mark the evangelist, the author of the Gospel of Mark. Who he is was not what people had called him. Who he is not the identities that other people had given him. Who he is and who he becomes is the one who will tell the story of Jesus. In a way that will echo down from generation to generation. Our mission is to be faithfully obedient and give the big picture to God. Because when I look at this story of John Mark and I imagine that moment where Paul and Barnabas are disagreeing so sharply about him that they decide that they can't even be together anymore and they split and go separate ways. When I look at that moment and I wonder, what must it have been like at that moment? Could they see or imagine what God was going to do? Could they see or imagine how things were going to work out? And I don't think they could. But I wonder who was right. Who was right in that disagreement between Paul and Barnabas? Was Paul right? Was Barnabas right? And I'm going to go ahead and say yes. You see, I think sometimes what God calls us to do is plain and simple the daily acts of faithfully striving to follow him. Sometimes what God is calling us to isn't the earth-shattering, life-transforming moments, but usually what God is calling us to is those daily acts of faithfully striving to follow him day in and day out. And when we strive daily to follow him, what may look like failure at the moment may very well work out to be a doubling of God's kingdom efforts. When we strive to follow him daily, what may look like the end of the story may turn around and be transformed in ways we never would have expected. When we follow him with daily faithful obedience, we find that those other identities that people put on us matter far less than the one that God is giving us and the calling that God is putting on our life. You know, it's possible that God is stirring your heart that tomorrow you're supposed to walk into your job, quit, and go move across the world to be a missionary somewhere. That happens. But I'm going to guess that for most of us, that's not the case. For most of us, the work that you are going to do tomorrow, the parenting that you are going to do today, tomorrow, and the day after that, the way in which you interact with your friends and your neighbors today, tomorrow, and the day after that, it's not going to be the dramatic changes that makes the impact on the world. It's not going to be some big gesture that transforms things. No, it is going to be one small step after another. In the words of Eugene Peterson, it is a long obedience in the same direction. And when we commit ourselves, and when we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us in that act of faithful obedience, day in and day out, giving each day to God and saying, I want to give this day as an act of faithful obedience, we find that God is working together in the big picture in ways that we can't even imagine. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't plan or vision or dream or look ahead to the future, but it means that for today and tomorrow, what matters most is, are we giving this day, this moment, this decision, this word, this choice, this action, are we giving it to God? John, also called Mark, John, also known as Stump Fingers, John, known as the Quitter. God's story wasn't done. And so, friends, today we rest in the hope and the comfort and the promise that our story is not done. Our God is not finished with us yet. Beginning to end, our life is in His hands. And as God has been faithful to us from beginning to end, our mission is to live with faithful obedience and entrust the big picture to God. Let's pray. God, help us to see what faithful obedience looks like for us today and tomorrow. And give us peace and patience when we don't see the end result of that right away. Help us to trust that you can work healing and restoration even when we don't think it's possible. Help us to see the identities that you have given us more than the identities that others have given to us. And help us to see that even when we can't see the end of the story, that you hold it all in your hands. Give us hearts to live for you each day, each moment, and to trust that you hold all things in your hands. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We all say together. I invite you to stand and receive God's blessing. Friends, may God go before you to guide you. May God go beside you to befriend you, beneath you to support you, and behind you to protect you. Do not fear. God is with you, in the daily acts of faithful obedience. God is with you, holding not just today, not just tomorrow, but the big picture. Do not be afraid. And we all say together, amen.